From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. We're getting more details about Washington's response to alleged chemical weapons attacks in Syria. President Obama addressed it today on CNN.
What we've seen indicates that this is clearly a big event of grave concern. And you know, we are already in communications with the entire international community. We're moving through the UN to try to prompt better action from them. And we've called on the Syrian government to allow an investigation of the site because UN inspectors are on the ground right now.
Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports that the Pentagon is updating target lists in Syria as the White House weighs its options. Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He's with us now from the studios of KGOU. Josh, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I want to go through some of the options with you for the U.S. We already have some economic sanctions in place. How effective are they, and what more could we be doing on that front?
Well, we have very heavy economic sanctions. Syria can't export any petrol or gas, and that's what had funded about half the government receipts, a little bit less than that. And the trouble with economic sanctions is that we've got a terrible humanitarian crisis. People are starving. And the more sanctions you have, the further the economy collapses. So economic sanctions are not going to help alleviate the human suffering. And the idea was that we would undercut the regime more than we'd undercut the people. But it's not clear that that's in fact the case.
Is our policy then now to play to the people, to try to keep the people happy with us while targeting specifically the regime?
You know, our policy is all over the place right now, and that's the problem. We don't know what we want. The rebels have over 1,000 militias. Many of them are connected to Islamic militants or even al-Qaeda elements. And so the United States has become a little bit fearful of the rebels, and yet they don't like Assad, who has now used some kind of chemical weapon. And we're torn about what to do because we don't feel that we have a partner in Syria that can govern the country if we destroy what's left of the Syrian regime.
Well, let's talk about some of the military options, and I don't say that lightly, but let's start with a no-fly zone. There's been some talk of that.
A no-fly zone came up very quickly once the Syrians began to use their air force, their fixed wings air force and helicopters, because they were wreaking havoc on the opposition and killing many civilians. So that this was the first big wave of humanitarian questioning. And it was believed that if you had a no-fly zone, the government would be weakened and the rebels would be able to do the rest. Since then, Americans, officials like Dempsey, the chief of staff, has come out and said it's not clear that a no-fly zone would defeat the Syrian government. If you begin to do that, then you might as well just take out the entire Syrian military. And that leads.
What about that, though, that targeted airstrikes on government and military facilities?
Well, that's been one of the big recommendations in the last few days. A number of think tanks have come out and said, well, we have to punish Assad and send, you know, missiles into his palace or at least blow up some of his chemical weapons sites in order to let him know that he cannot do this anymore. And, on the face of it, that seems like a very attractive idea. But the problem is if you begin to punish him for every human rights violation, you're going to be punishing him every day. And you might as well just take out his regime because it's a constant human rights violation. And then it raises the question of what do you want to replace the Syrian government with? Because the Syrian government still holds over half the land and half the population of Syria. Damascus, the capital, a city of about 5 million, all the cities of the coast, Latakia, Tartus, and Homs and Hama, Homs has been destroyed. And Hama is still integral. And there's a lot of people that live under the government. They get their salaries still. There's electricity. There's some basic state services that are being offered them. If you destroy that and take that away, who's going to step in? And this is the problem. In the liberated—
There are huge questions about the opposition.
Right.
And one of the problems is who are we supporting when we support the opposition? Parts of them have ties to radical groups, and there's been talk of ties to al-Qaeda.
Well, that's the problem. And in the most spectacular, if you just take an example, the most spectacular success of the opposition in the last 2 weeks, it's been taking a big, important air base outside of Aleppo, the Manar air base. And our allies, the Free Syrian Army, was intimately involved in this takeover. But the game changer, according to our man on the ground, Aghidi, was that these al-Qaeda-related foreign jihadists were willing to drive a suicide car bomb with tons of explosives in through the gate, and they exploded it. And this helped win the day in the airbase. And it was because our elements, the Free Syrian Army, had allied themselves with the al-Qaeda and foreign jihadists in order to take the airbase. They were giving them arms. So if we give arms to our people, they go through the whole spectrum, and that means al-Qaeda. And that's the danger, and that's why the chief of staff came out last week and said, we can't – the Syrian opposition is many thousands of militias, and they're not all working for pro-American ideas.
Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Joshua, thanks.
It's a pleasure being with you.